Kunjabi Hari. Daiva Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Gopi Janaballabha Girivaradhari. Gopi Janaballabha Girivaradhari. Soda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tiravana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Namo Shivaya Paramahamsa. Pariraj Acharya Sto Tadashi Shimad Asi Bhaktivinoda Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila Chapter 23 Texts 17 through 19. Right? Thank you. Jahara Vidaye Babun Karahoi Tanhate Eteka Chinna Sarva Shastri Koi. If one actually has the seed of transcendental emotion in his heart, the symptoms will be visible in his activities. That is the verdict of all revealed scriptures. 18 and 19. This is from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Chantir avyarta kalyatvam viraktir manasunyata Ashabanda Samukanta Namagane Sarauchi. Ashaktistad Gunayane. Pritistad Vasatistale. Ityadayo Nubhava Sur. Jatabhava Nukure Jane. Bolo. Namagane Sraruchi. Tabavan Kurejane. Chantir avyarta kalatvam viraktir manasunyata ashabanda samutkanta namagane sadaruchi asaktistad gunakyane Pritistad vasatistale. Ityadayo nubhavasyur. Jata bhavan kurejane. Chantiravyartakayatvam. Viraktir manashunyata. Ashabanda samtanta namagane sararuchi ashaktistad gunakyane pritistad vasatistale ityadayo nubhavasyur jata bhavan kurejane. Janti kalyatam viraktir manasunyata ashabanda samutkanta namakane sararuti akshaktistad gunakyane Pritistad vasatistale ityadayon bhavasyur jata bhavan kure jane. Okay. I'm doing this a little quick because I have something to do after this. When the seed of ecstatic emotion for Krishna fructifies, the following nine symptoms manifest in one's behavior. Forgiveness, concern that time should not be wasted. Detachment, absence of false prestige. Hope, eagerness, a taste for chanting the holy name of the Lord. Attachment to descriptions of the transcendental qualities of the Lord. And affection for those places where the Lord resides, that is, a temple or a holy place like Vrindavan. These are all called anubhav, subordinate signs of ecstatic emotion. They're visible in a person in whose heart the seed of love of God has begun to fructify. Now, there is no purport. The purport says these two verses are found in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So I'm going to read this purport here. When ecstatic emotions, emotional stage intensifies, it's called love of Godhead. Such love is life's ultimate goal and the reservoir of all pleasure. Srila Prabhupada says here, Bhaktivinoda Thakur summarizes this growth of love of Godhead as a gradual process. So that gives me hope. It's a gradual process because I'm reading a purport just from a few verses ago. Yeah. Because when I read this verse, and it says, somebody who's got a taste for spiritual life, you can tell because he's not an idiot anymore and he's not engaged in the material world. Even though he's in the material world, he's not distracted by it. And in this age of distraction, I mean, everybody's distracted. Every sanmohita jiva, that's what it means. Sanmohita means he's illusioned. And it's even harder now because everybody has one of these in their pocket and it distracts you. And then people go down those rabbit holes and tell you, like, oh, the earth is flat and the chemtrails, they're going to kill us with all those chemicals they're pouring on us. And I'm like, well, what are you going to do about it? They've been doing this to us forever. Don't focus on that. Focus on trying to get out of the material world. And we have Prabhupada leading us by the hand. All we have to do is cooperate. It sounds easier than it is. I've been trying to cooperate with Prabhupada for over 50 years, and it's a daily, daily struggle. But when I read things like, you'll see it in his behavior. Forgiveness, concern for time not being wasted, detachment, absence of false prestige. Anyway, so this breaks it down a little bit easier here. The idea is that fallen souls, and who knows how long we've been in the material world, we blew it and left Krishna, and we've been chasing after sense gratification for who knows how long, always frustrated but never given up on the hope that maybe this time, maybe I'll enjoy something, or maybe, because we left out of envy and we got here and it didn't turn out like we wanted it to. I mean, Dukalyam Asashvatam, or the, Janma Mrityu Jaravyadi Dukkha Doshan. If you missed that, you won't miss it when you're trying out there because you'll be getting kicked all the time. Prabhupada said that conditioned soul is like a football. And you look on a football field, and he's talking about Euro football, soccer, wherever that ball goes, people run and kick it. And Prabhupada said, so you're like a football being kicked around. At every second, you're being kicked, and you're thinking, I'm the enjoyer, I'm the controller, I'm trying to, a humbogi. Anyway, Bhaktivinoda summarizes this growth as a gradual process. And don't be discouraged because, after you've blooped from Krishna for billions of births, it's not like you just come back and 6 months later you're going to be a pure devotee. And you don't want to be discouraged because it's hard to do your service if you're depressed or discouraged or, anyway, focus. Like Vaishya always says, keep the vibration going. And if you're always, like I have a Prabhupada box, I've gone through 5 of those things, and I just leave it on all the time. So even in the middle of the night when I'm sleeping, I wake up to go to the bathroom or something, I'll hear something Prabhupada says, because I'm keeping that vibration going, and it's the only hope. Eventually, he becomes interested in pure devotional service. At that point, the person wants to associate with devotees, and as a result of this association, he becomes more and more interested in serving the Lord and hearing and chanting. The more one is interested in hearing and chanting, the more he's purified of material contamination. Liberation from the material contamination is called anartha nivritti, indicating a diminishing of all unwanted things. This is the test of development in devotional service. If one actually develops devotional attitude, he must be freed from material contamination of illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat eating. And whenever you listen to Srila Prabhupada speak, or whenever you read, he says this over and over and over. If you simply follow these rules and live a sinless life and chant Hare Krishna, you can get out. But he also says, I've noticed some of my disciples, as soon as they leave the camp, they grow hair. He said, they're here in the camp, and they look first class in pukka, and then they go away for 2 days, and they come back, and they have hair. The Prabhupada said, this is a symptom that they're not following strictly. And it hurt his heart to see his disciples, be like me, weak, fallen. But I'm not giving up. This is eternal. This jiva lives forever, and it lives with Krishna forever, blissfully. I believe that. And I've actually seen, I've had a little glimpse of spiritual life now and then. And I also have God brothers and God sisters that are tasting Krishna consciousness, and they're not faking it. These devotees are in spiritual consciousness. So I know it's possible. And I'm not giving up. When one is freed from all material contamination, then his firm faith awakens in devotional service. And when firm faith develops, the tastes arise. By the taste, one becomes attached to devotional service. When this attachment intensifies, the seed of love of Krishna fructifies. This position is called priti or rati, affection or bhav, emotion. When rati intensifies, it is called love of Godhead. This love of God, it is actually life's highest perfection and the reservoir of all pleasure. Devotional life is divided into two stages, sadhana bhakti and bhava bhakti. Sadhana bhakti refers to the development of devotional service through the regulative principles. The basic principle for the execution of devotional service is faith. You have to have faith because, I mean, I don't know about you, but when I look in the mirror in the morning, I still think I'm this body. And I have all kinds of thoughts about it and anxieties about it. And because I'm getting older, you know, you have to suffer more and your body doesn't work as well as it used to. And it's frustrating. But still, somehow or other, I don't get a glimpse, you know, that I'm spirit soul. I'm a blissful entity who's supposed to be full of knowledge instead of, you know, not happy and full of ignorance. So you have to have that faith. And then you follow. And when you take initiation and follows the principles, one becomes freed from unwanted things. And in this way, becomes firmly fixed, and he gradually develops a taste. The more that taste grows, the more one desires to render service to the Lord. Omagyana timanandasyagyana anjana salakaya chaksur niratanyena tasmai sri gurave namaha. Namasheshtam onamopi sachiputram atrasvarupam rupam tasya grajam rupurim maturim gostavatim radhakundam giribaramaho radhikamaravashyam prapto jasya pratiti kripaya sri gurum tang natosmi. This is a quote from a letter 1972 Prabhupada wrote to one of his disciples. If you chant daily 16 rounds and read at least 1 hour daily Srimad Bhagavatam, plus other prescribed duties, never mind this or that, you will feel yourself becoming happy more and more, and these practices will protect you from maya or hazy consciousness without any doubt. Of course, it is much more favorable to advance in spiritual life if we are engaged in some service for Krishna, which is pleasing to us to perform. So that Prabhupada simplifies things so many times for us that I was listening the other night and he was saying, we have so many books and you can study these books and you can learn everything you need to know. And he said, and if you can't read, just chant Hare Krishna and you'll realize the whole thing. So that's another little udipan that gives us hope that as long as you're sincere and serious, Prabhupada will save us. And we have to, even when we're not sincere and serious, Prabhupada's saving us. It's amazing. We heard that story about the devotee in Gaudiya Math, and Prabhupada said he went back to Godhead. And the devotee said, how can he go back to Godhead? He didn't like you. He didn't help our movement, and he destroyed their movement with the lawsuit. And he said, because he had pleased his spiritual master. He pleased Bhakti Siddhanta at some point, so he went back to Godhead. So if that doesn't give you hope, I don't know what will. Krishna and his devotees are so kind. This is about Sankirtan because that's what this is all about, this mission that Lord Chaitanya came to save the fallen souls, and Prabhupada just amazingly came with nothing. Of course, he had books, hundreds of them, hundreds and hundreds of books. That's all he had, you know. No, nothing, no help, no money, nothing, just books. And look what happened, you know, Hare Krishna all over the world, hundreds of temples all over the world. There's 165,000 devotees in ISKCON, and who knows how many more are affected. It's like yesterday I was out there, and I met this lady, and she's from South Africa, and I gave her the Bhagavad Gita, and she said, I'm a yoga teacher. And she said, I teach children yoga. And she said, I've got almost every book on yoga, but she said, I don't have the Bhagavad Gita. So I felt like, thank you, Krishna. I mean, it's such a nice thing when it's not always like that on Sankirtan. And so I gave her, I piled her up with a bunch of other books, and she was just so grateful to meet somebody that was out there doing that. And it made my day because it was one of those days where I was invisible out there. You walk up to people and they just go, get out of here, leave me alone, I'm busy. And it was really crowded in the parking lots. So I thought, oh, this would be a huge day, you know, and it wasn't, it was tough. But I met several really sincere, sweet people, and it made me feel like I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. And we're not attached to the results. I am, actually. If I go out and can't distribute books and I can't get you to give a donation, I get, you know, like, what happened? Yesterday it worked. What's going on? I pray to Lord Nityananda. Krishna and his devotees are so kind and compassionate, they're unhappy to see the misery of this world. Krishna is the father of all living entities, and he's very unhappy to see his son suffering. Krishna therefore comes and canvasses, "Why are you captivated by this false so-called happiness? Give up all this and surrender to me. Come to me and I will relieve you. Then you will live happily, eternally, blissfully. You will not have any want, nor will you be troubled by anything." For this reason, Krishna comes. Actually, he has no other business to carry out here because his agent, Prakriti, does everything. Nonetheless, out of compassion, Krishna comes in his original form. Krishna sends his representative who says, "You rascal, simply take shelter of Krishna and be happy." So this is Prabhupada's mood that, and you can see in this world, everybody's running as fast as they can to hell. I mean, you know, it's unfortunate because some of them are, you know, nice people. Unfortunately, because of ignorance, you know, they're eating cows and stuff and they're committing sinful activity every single day and they don't have any hope. I don't know how people do it. I mean, when I wake up in the morning, I just like, "Thank you, Prabhupada, for everything you do for me. Please forgive me. Let me serve." And then I can start my day and go on like that. Prabhupada says, in any condition of life, if one goes on chanting, he will never be unhappy. I mean, it's an easy thing to do. And if you just take shelter, it works. And I mean, I've had days where I didn't really want to chant or, you know, I usually do get up, but sometimes I just read because I like to read. That's Prabhupada's mercy. I get to read his books. But I force myself to chant because I took the vow and I know it's the medicine. And, you know, you got to take your medicine if you want to get better. Recently, I've been thinking about the other living entities that aren't human because there's 8,400,000 species and only 400,000 are human. And Prabhupada said most of them aren't civilized. But I walk on the river and I go out in nature and walk around and I see, you know, I look at the wildlife, you know, not just hawks and eagles and gators and otters and stuff. But then I look at the trees and the plants and then I look at the grass. You know how many blades of grass are out there? And they're just sitting there. I'm a blade of grass. They don't even die in the winter, you know. I mean, it used to snow up north and then when it thaws, the grass gets on. It's so dormant, so unconscious. What's the chance of that blade of grass getting out of that? And he's only a blade of grass. He's got 8 million more species to go. And I chant out there. I'm walking along and I chant. Because I can't, like if you were a blade of grass here, you know, devotees step on you. Maybe they spill some prasadam on you. They hear the holy name. But if you're out in Lake Butler, a blade of grass or something, what's your chances? Nobody's going to come out there and say, "Hey, blade of grass, chant Hare Krishna." So we have to try to appreciate what we have here in this human form. Because Prabhupada said in the animals, they can't chant or come to class. And most of the man animals won't chant or come to class either. But there is hope. They always have the choice. And I think of Jagai and Marai, perfect example, you know. And they came and joined after they did all the stuff they did. They came and they were in the kirtan at Shiva Sangam. I mean, that's perfect proof that anybody can take shelter and the Lord will save you. He will forgive us and he wants us back home. He loves us. So my advice is follow strictly, chant your rounds, try to tell somebody about it. Chant Hare Krishna and share it with others. It's a simple thing to do. And if you don't want to talk or say anything to somebody, give them a book. We have a lot of little books. They're inexpensive. Put them in your car. I see those guys on the street with the signs, you know, and I call them over, and they come over, and I go, "I don't have any money because I got kids, but here," and I give them the book. And I'm always surprised because they look, you know, they look like Margari or something, you know, and as soon as they get Krishna, 9 out of 10 of these guys on the corner, they just light up, especially when I give them the Beatles or when I give them, they're out there standing there hoping somebody gives them money so they can go do whatever they're going to do. And here comes this guy and gives them something completely different. And they have it. And I've seen these guys. One time I pulled up in Gainesville, and the guy was standing there, and I handed him a book. He goes, "You gave me that book." So I gave him another book. And he said, "Thank you very much. I read that book." He gave me a donation. I didn't ask. I mean, you know, I didn't expect that. But it's just that when I go out in Sangerton, I see the people suffering. I see what they're going through. Even the ones that are, you know, they have a job, and they still can go and afford to shop. And they got their kids and their wife, and everybody's not happy. And then I walk up to them, and I give them lollipops, and I give them books. And it changes the whole thing. And most of the time, they're very happy. I met this old lady. This happened a couple years ago, but it's a funny story. And I'm walking through the parking lot at Walmart, and this old lady was like 90. And she just started her car and didn't look and just started going. And there was a cop driving real slow right there, and she T-boned the cop car. Just boom, right into it. And it was a young cop, and he was. I watched the whole thing, and the guy was real. He wasn't nice. And he comes over and starts yelling at her, and she just starts crying. She's sitting in the car, and just hit the cop, I'm crying. And he went back to, you know, write her up, and I went over to her, and I said, "Don't worry, this is just a temporary thing, and it's all pass." I gave her a book, and she stopped crying. And I felt like, I was glad I was there. I felt so sorry for her. And most of the people that I meet out there that actually give me donations are older people, especially people older than me. I meet people that are 75, 85, and they're, nobody goes and talks to old people. You know, I go up and go, "Hi, how you doing? Nice earrings. Here, have a lollipop. Here's a book on yoga. Here's a cookbook," or whatever I hand them. And they're so happy to talk to somebody, you know. Somebody, and I ask them their name, and I tell them my name, and blah, blah, and where you're from. And they're, when I started doing the villages and meeting old people, at first I was like, because a lot of them aren't very happy. They've retired. They have all the money they need. Like this one lady opened her wallet, and all she had was $100 bills. And I said, "I can give you change." And she said, "I'm 95 years old. Money's not my problem." And she gave me $100 for a cookbook, which they all should. That's what those cookbooks are worth. Actually, they're priceless. But when I go out there, it's always an adventure because you never know what's going to happen. One guy jumped out of the truck yesterday. He said, "Get out of here. Get away. Who are you? What are you doing? Who said you could do this? Get out of here." And I said, "God." I said, "Jesus." This guy the other day gave me... The Christians are always trying to save me, you know, because as soon as they see the book, you know, especially yoga or especially forearms and stuff like that, they just freak. And they gave me, they have these little plastic Jesuses now. And he's got a chatter on it that says, "Jesus hearts you." So, yeah. So I met another one the other day, and he didn't just have the plastic Jesus. He goes, "I have something special for you." And he gives me this little medal that's in a plastic case. It looks like a Bitcoin. And it's a picture of, I don't know, one of the saints. And it says, "God's powerful forces will protect you." Like, and on the other side, it says, "The Lord's shield will save you." And then they pray for me. And I tell them, "You don't have to pray for me. You're preaching to the choir. I'm Catholic. I came up Irish." And then of course, the Baptists go, "Well, we'll still pray for you," because the Baptists think that Catholics aren't Christian. I tell them, "It's the same Jesus." And then there's not like a Catholic Jesus. And then there's a Baptist Southern redneck Jesus, is there? I don't think so. I think there's one Jesus and there's one God. And Prabhupada always makes the point that their knowledge is incomplete because they're talking about the Son. And Prabhupada said, if you know the Son and you don't know the Father, your knowledge is incomplete. So I always say, we have no argument. Krishna's the Father, Jesus the Son. What's wrong with that? Of course, they don't usually agree. But hey, what are you going to do? This is our movement. This is our mission. Our mission is to go out and do... We're swimming upstream, basically, is what we're doing, because everybody else is just partying their brains out. That's all they want to do. And they know the next party is going to be the one that they liked. We had a party last night for Pavani. She's 3, my granddaughter Pavani. And we partied our brains out. We ate like fools. Everybody brought prasad, and we were eating quiche and pasta and meatballs made out of... It was just incredible, and cupcakes, and you know, and it was late. And I said, "I got to go, you know, it's after 9. I usually go to bed around 9, if at the latest, because my body wakes up at 3:15 every day without an alarm, because I just do, which I consider a great blessing. Because if I don't get up early, then my rounds are weak. I mean, I'll chant them, but it's not the same. So get up early and chant your rounds, everybody. It's easy to do. Not really. but you have to make yourself do it even if it isn't easy. I want to share this because I just love this. Because there's so much turmoil in our society now because of the politics, and politics have always been hell. And the word means to polarize. And we've seen a lot of weird politicians. Prabhupada used to say, just like your Nixon, he was the president of the biggest, most powerful, richest country on earth, and now he's been dragged down because of his character. And we thought Nixon was bad. Ha! Until we saw the new stuff. So we have to be tolerant, and we have to be, Prabhupada said, Tatikshava Karunika, from the verse from Kapila, you have to be tolerant and you have to be merciful. And Suhrida Sarvadayinam, friend of all living entities, that wouldn't hurt. But Prabhupada says, in the name of secular government, the king or the governmental head remains neutral. He allows people to engage in all sorts of irreligious activities. In such a state, people cannot be happy despite all economic development. However, in this age of Kali, there are no pious kings. Instead, rogues and thieves are elected to head the government. Prabhupada called it demon crazy, democracy, demon crazy. And that is exactly what it is. And whatever side you're on, you're into demon crazy if you're into politics. The idea is just to avoid it. Prabhupada said, the rogues will exact the taxes from the citizens for their own sense enjoyment. In the future, the people will be so much harassed that according to the Bhagavatam, they will flee from their homes and take shelter in the forest. Now, how bad is that going to be when you go, I'm leaving home, honey, I'm going to the forest, I can't take it anymore, I've had enough. Imagine that, especially when it's nice and cold out there. I'm going to the forest, I can't take it, too many taxes. So, in Kali Yuga, democratic government can be captured by Krishna-conscious people. If this can be done, the general populace can be made happy again. So that's all we got to do. Become Krishna conscious and then capture the government. I remember years ago when Balavante was going to run for president. Anyway, didn't work out, but that would have been nice to have a Krishna conscious leader. Or just a conscious leader would be a huge upgrade. Prabhupada says here, I love this. This makes me feel like I got nothing to worry about. For chanters of the holy name, their name is already written in Krishna's book for going back to Godhead. So your name's already written in Krishna's book for going back home, back to Godhead. I mean, that to me is like a guarantee. All you got to do is chant Hare Krishna. And if you chant Hare Krishna all the time, then you'll be happy. And at the end, you can go back to Godhead. Anybody have any questions or anything they want to say? Gopal, there's a microphone.
Hare Krishna. Hare Bol. Is it on? Okay. So I was actually thinking about this verse in my personal reading. I'm in this section of the Chaitanya Charitamrita right now. And when I read this verse, the thought that came to mind was which I was looking for an answer to this question, so I'm going to ask you today.
Oh, great, thanks.
The verses of Vyakta Kala Tvam describes different symptoms of someone who's advancing to Krishna consciousness. Now, as a practitioner of Krishna consciousness, do we look at this verse and then do we start analyzing, am I becoming advanced? Or is that the right mentality? Or how do we even recognize that we're becoming advanced? And we read the verse, but I'm doing those things, and now I'm becoming advanced. And so what's the parameter then for one's own self-reflection?
Well, everybody's individual, and they have their different ways. But it's just so obvious. Prabhupada said that you can test yourself. If I'm making spiritual advancement by, am I envious of others? And he said jealous. As long as you're jealous, then you're in the material world. Because there's no envy and no jealousy in the spiritual world. And we have our process. This is the beauty of Krishna consciousness. We know what we're supposed to do. That means, serious, sincere, We know what we're supposed to do, and if we're sincere, we'll do it. If you do it, you get the results. If you don't, you don't. Even, I mean, I do it. I force myself to chant. And when I'm chanting japa, I have Prabhupada in front of me. He's walking back and forth in L.A. He's chanting japa. And I have he's chanting japa. And I still, my mind goes all over the place. Like in the 11th canto, the mind says that the mind is powerful, godlike power. Yeah, bhishma, it says, you know. And it torments the heart. So that's your mind. That's who we're living with. Plus we got Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Mada, Masara. Those things are there, and we can't stop those things. They're powerful. Lust, greed, anger. If you take shelter of Krishna, he can remove that. Maya Dakshina Prakriti. I mean, that's the only way to get out. And everybody's on a different... I mean, I know devotees, you know, that never looked to the side. They surrendered to Prabhupada, and they never, ever looked back. And then there's other devotees, like me, who was, you know, I was taking side trips, you know, the whole time, you know, just going, oh, what's that? Oh, ooh, Sanskrit. And it's ridiculous. It's very obvious to see what you're thinking about. And that's the problem, because in this life, you don't get what you want. You get what you deserve. And if you're thinking the wrong thing at the wrong time, like when you get hit by a truck or something and you're thinking about sense gratification, that's the problem. But the sincere devotee, like you, is thinking, how do I... Because when I read that, I was like, oh, great verse for me, because anybody could look at Divyanga and go, this guy, is he a devotee? Is he spiritual? He doesn't seem like it. Because I have a lower taste, but I'm not giving up. I'm working on this, and I'm a jiva. We're little. Prabhupada said, this one guy asked Prabhupada, he said, how could we forget if it was such a beautiful thing in the spiritual world? And Prabhupada said, because you're very small. It's like Arjun says, how could you have spoke this to the Bhimasvan? He's so much older than you and you. And Krishna said, you were there too. You forgot. So we're in forgetfulness. We have to clean the heart. Just like you're trying to look in a mirror and it's full of dust. You have to clean that. Chaito darpanam arjunam. And it, you know, I would love it if I had a clean heart. It would make my life so much easier. And it doesn't come off all at once. You got to chant those rounds sincerely. You got to meditate. You can't just walk around cleaning your house going, how do you, how do you, how do you, you know what I mean? Or driving around. I mean, it's better to chant than not, but that's not meditation. Meditation means you got to be fixed. Prabhupada said, sit down tight and chant your rounds. And he also told Savas that one famous time where he said, what would you like us to do to please you? And he said, I'd like you to sit down and chant your rounds. I mean, you know what I mean? We've been, just like the hair thing, Prabhupada said they come back. He said, even sannyasis are coming back, keeping hairs. And then the devotee said, yeah, but the devotee said, I'm going to Europe, I need hair. And Prabhupada said, which rascal said that? Whose rascal advice are you taking? You know, he's talking about like a half an inch of hair on a guy. But Prabhupada took it seriously because he knows who he's dealing with. That's why he gave us this morning program. He gave us evening programs too, but if you get up in the morning, chant your rounds, and attend Prabhupada's morning program, that's like a 5-6 hour thing. And if you do that every day, you have a pretty good chance of making it through the rest of the day, even I do, without doing anything stupid. But if you don't do that, all bets are off. You know, anything could happen out there. It happens all the time. We met a devotee in Chicago, and I'd known him. He was always kind of bitchy, but we met him in a restaurant one day, and he was eating a steak. We were doing Sangirtan, and we were like, what the heck? I was just shocked. I was a vegetarian when I was 13 before I met the devotees. I just thought, I'm not eating this. But some people can't get over the basic things. And, like, there's those four things, and if you are not out of that, you have to work on it. Is that okay? I wish I could give you a better answer, Prabhu. So nice to see you. Gopal Champa is one of the nicest devotees in the movement, if you don't know him. I met him in India about 6-7 years ago, and he was advice just he gave him to me and said, anything you need, Div, just talk to Gopal. He's the man. And I go up, and I pay obeisances, and I hug him, and I go, what part of India are you from? And he goes, New York. And we became friends. And then when we went to Tirupati, I was a little sick. We're sitting there in Tulsi Puja, and I go, Gopal, can you go get me some dahi? And he went, and 5 minutes later, he came back with a little cup of dahi. You know what I mean? This is the guy. This is the man. This is my go-to guy. He was doing my tickets. He helped me do anything. Because, you know, in India, And he's really smart, and he was on it. He had the details, you know. He took care of me. Thank you very much. I'll never forget that, Prabhu. Especially Tirupati. That was awesome. Anything else? All right, let's all go out on book distribution. Stick it to the man. Remember this before we stop. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, look within, amend yourself, rather than to pry into the frailties of others. In this world of Maya, averse to the Lord, full of trials and tribulations, only patience, humility, and respect for others are our friends for Hari Bhajan. And this one always gets me. Lord Gaurasundar, he puts his devotees into various difficulties and associations to test their patience and strength of mind. Success depends on their good fortune. When faults in others misguide and delude you, have patience, introspect, find faults with yourself, and know that others cannot harm you unless you harm yourself. You can write that on your hand, you know what I mean? I love that. And it's like the verse, Tateno Kampan Sushamikshamano, Evatma Kritam means you did it to yourself. Bunjana Evatma Kritam Vipakam. You did this to yourself. And that, who are you getting mad at? Like the 11th canto says in the Avani, right? Who are you going to blame if you bite your tongue while you're eating? Who are you going to blame? So we did this to ourselves. The condition we're in, we did it to ourselves. The good news is we can get out of here. And Krishna consciousness is so nice. If you become conscious of Krishna, then you won't do the stupid things that everybody's doing. The things that we're addicted to are stupid little things. They're temporary. And if you have Krishna, you'll have a chance. If you don't have Krishna consciousness, there is no chance. Everything you might try to do, I mean, I feel sorry for people that aren't devotees. That's why every day I go out there and I try to give somebody a book. That's the only hope for them. That makes me feel really good when I do it too, so it works. It's a win-win situation. Thank you very much for listening. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Vancha kabu dribhisha, keep us in the bhavacha. Patitanam pavanibhyo, vaishnavibhyo, namo namaha.